DJW Mobile.
Hello, how you doing? KD2BNG Mobile.
I'm doing pretty good. I see you are too on the stats board. You're working your way right up through there.
Ago, a week or two ago, I wasn't even in the top 10. Yeah, I'm gunning for Jason. I'm 200 points away from catching him. He's got, you know, more hardware than I do, though. Or better hardware.
Right on his heels. Oh, boy. That's kind of, the competition makes it fun, doesn't it?
How many machines have you got there? Three or four? I don't know. See, if you click on my machines, it's misleading because a lot of those basically, this is what I was, you know, if I was running Windows and I booted up using Linux, let's say, now that comes up as another machine. Or if I booted up to some virtual environment, there's another machine, but it isn't really. So right now there's only four or five machines. And the only one which is producing anything is that 5-core or 4-core Core i5 system that I built, like, you know, 10 years ago. So I don't really have the computing power I'd like to.
Thing going on. I converted one of my desktops to Linux when I first started. And then this past week I converted the other one over to Linux. And the two old versions of them on Windows are still in the stats. But I did let them finish out the work units they were on. I went in there and told it, don't accept any more work units. And then I just let it run for a couple of days until it worked off everything that it had in reserve. And then I switched it over. And I noticed that the one that I switched over a long time ago, long time being 2 weeks, I think, I noticed that one is almost off the scale, down to like 71 credits. And as soon as those expire, recent average credits, like down to 71, as soon as those expire, it'll go off the page. You won't see that machine anymore, I don't think. W4DJW.
BNG, I think according to what I see, it takes 30 days. When a machine has no activity for 30 days, it disappears. Now, there is some option that says merge machines. Or, you know, I'm not sure what that really is. But, now, the Linux version versus the Windows version of, like, the Boink client, is there any difference in productivity? I don't really know that there should be.
There's a difference. The Linux is much more efficient. If you look at the efficiency, the Linux appears to be much more efficient if you don't have quite the memory you need. You need about different work units consume different quantities of memory. And on average, they're around 2 gigabytes apiece. Some are 1 gigabyte, some are 3 gigabytes. But on average, they're 2. So if you don't have quite enough memory, the Linux handles it better than the non-Linux.
My machine has 8 gigabytes, so that's not likely to be my problem. You know, it's kind of a strange environment that I have going on that system. I'm running the Windows client, and I'm running it under Wine. And the reason that I'm doing that is because the Mac OS client for that machine, you know, it's an obsolete version of Mac OS. The Mac OS client keeps getting things like computation error, computation error, computation error. So that's the Windows client running on that thing.
After that, it was my turn at the window. I had to place an order. What was the last couple of sentences?
The older version of the Mac software I had problems with. It keeps saying, you know, it keep coming up, computation error, computation error. I don't know if, you know, so that machine, the quad-core Core i5 machine, is actually running the Windows version of the client software, which, you know, that's why it's kind of a strange environment. But I was just, I'll get more machines running Linux, if that's helpful.
I can determine. I haven't, like, put it in a spreadsheet and measured their efficiency versus the number of credits that you get. And that's another thing that I have learned recently, is that those those work units are scheduled to run for 8 hours, and they finish sometimes under 8 hours. But what happens is the more folds that you can make in the protein, I think the higher your score is. I think the more credits you get for more folds. Because I've got, you look at the gigaflops capability of each one of the machines, and some of the machines that have a lower gigaflop rating can get higher points on a work unit than another machine that crunched the whole time, the whole 8 hours, and the smaller machine wouldn't have even crunched the whole 8 hours. So it's kind of weird how they do, how they give you credits. But I think it boils down to how many folds you can get in the protein, and some proteins fold easier than others.
I'm trying to get everybody off the Mac OS client software, because I got two machines that are pretty evenly matched. Core 2 Duo, 2.3 gigahertz. Core 2 Duo, 2.5 gigahertz. And, you know, one of them is running Windows 7 Professional. The other one is running some earlier version of Mac OS. And that machine does horrible in the teraflops category. It's like less than one teraflop. And the other one is more than twice that. This according to Point View. So, you know, I'm trying to figure out. I may have to go Linux with everything that I'm, you know, that I. If you say you've had better experience there.
Well, Raspberry Pis are only 1.5 gigahertz, but because they've got four processors, I think. I don't know. I could be wrong here. They get over 2 gigaflops, whereas some of my higher gigahertz machines that only have two processors, they're like 1 gigaflop. I don't know. I'm still working on figuring it out. I'll have it totally figured out yet. W4DJW.
Just leave everything the way it is. On the big machine, I do have to go in there and find some way to hook up the other fan. Because that's one of those big cases that held like five drive bays and four, you know, but and there was like two fans. One fan blows the air straight up, the other fan blows air out the back. And I really got, the reason the second fan isn't working is there weren't enough power connections left. So I should ideally get that second fan working, because that's the one that's running a bit on the hot side.
What you were talking about doing, I took the side door off of one of them, and took it out to, and blew compressed air all over it, and it made a dust storm. But anyway, that one's running cooler now, and I've got to do that to another one. And then I just left the side door off of it, left it open, let the air come in without having to go through the holes in the side door. I plan on relocating that one to another room in the house that's cooler too, so that the office gets cooler overall, which will help, I think.
I tell you, for maximal cooling, leave the cases, you know, don't open up the case, because the case is designed to direct the air in a certain way. You would figure take the case off and it runs cooler, but I don't know if that's true.
I like the hard drives out of that one too, so they're not spinning, they're not contributing to the heat. And that particular board, the one that I've been working on, was the main computer that I'd been using until I got the replacement. And it had a slot on the motherboard for a M-SATA card. And I had an extra 250 gig M-SATA card, so I just put that card in there, took all the hard drives out, put a Linux CD-ROM in the CD drive, booted it, loaded it to that M-SATA drive that's on the motherboard now. And there's no hard drives in that machine anymore. It's just that one M-SATA drive with 250 gigs of space running nothing but bare-bones Linux, the lightest weight Linux I could build, and Rosetta at home.
Distribution Ubuntu or Debian, and probably Debian without the, you know, the command line, without the user shell installed. KDE or whatever the shell is.
The recent one is LXE, but there's GNOME and KDE, like you're saying. But yeah, when I built the light version that doesn't have any window manager. It's just command line. And I don't ever log in. You know, there's no keyboard or mouse or anything connected to it. I do, I run Sigwin on the main computer. I open an Xterm on Sigwin and then do it SSH over to that box to do anything that I want to do on that box. So it's got really no human interface on it at all. It's just bare metal running with no peripherals.
If I could install some stripped down, only two I've had that much experience. You know, there's 100 Linux distributions, literally. It's not like you could try them all. Debian and Ubuntu are the two that are kind of like the core, the most popular ones, the most aggressively maintained ones, and also the ones to which software is written, generally. Fedora is another one, and there's one or two others, but those are like the, kind of almost the reference distributions.
The non-enterprise versions, and I think there's only one enterprise version. And all the companies that I've ever worked for used Red Hat Linux. And I think that constitutes the majority of all the enterprise versions. I've tried it at home because I used it at work so much that I loaded it on my machines at home. But I like Debian a whole lot better than any of the other ones. I don't know why. It's just what you get used to, I guess. I got used to Red Hat at work, but... And before that, Solaris. Remember when Sun Microsystems was in operation? Solaris was a really nice Unix operating system. I hate that one went away. But you got to learn to keep up or you get behind. Anyway, Glenn, I'm about in the driveway. I just went and picked up lunch after spending 2 hours getting the yard groomed. That's done for another couple of weeks, I think. And I'm going to go eat lunch. I'm starving at 4 o'clock. KD2BNG, W4DJW, I'll clear out after you.
W4DJW, KD2BNG. Yeah, too bad about Sun Microsystems generally. I wish they'd still be there. But all right, I'll let you go. 73s, and we'll talk later maybe on the net. You have a good one.